The reading this morning is Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. My enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me. Thank you.
Well, good morning again, everybody, and thank you for having me here with you at Southcote Family Church. It's a pleasure to be here. This is the psalm we'll be looking at today, so if you've got a Bible, feel free to keep that open in front of you. But I thought I'd just give you a super quick introduction to who I am, just so that I'm not a stranger stood at the front, so that you know a little bit more about me. So my name's Charlie. I'm the youth pastor at Kennet Valley Free Church. I've been there for about 8 years now. I've lived in Reading for my whole life. I turned 30 at the end of last year, so 30 years in Reading. I grew up in Tilehurst. Moved to Calcot 4 years ago. My wife and I got married 4 years ago, and so we moved to Calcot at that point. My wife is a police officer. She works in London. Her name's Claudia, and she works in a victim support role in the police in London. And like I say, we've been married just coming up to 4 years. We've got a little one-year-old Cocker Spaniel who's called Woody, and we have very excited to say that we've got a baby on the way. We're expecting our first child, so that's very exciting. So baby coming along at the end of June, so that's, very exciting. I came to faith in my teens. I grew up going to church and came to faith in my teens. And I'm thankful for how God has led me to this point and trust in him to continue to lead me on. As we come to look at this psalm together, let's start with a prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we have your word in our hands. And Father, we ask that you would take our lives into your hands and speak into them. Please would you open our hearts and our minds by your Holy Spirit to hear what you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I wonder if you've ever been in a situation like this. You go to the doctor's surgery, you check in, you take your seat. Now, if you're anything like me, I like to take my seat so I'm facing the surgery door so that I can sneakily see if there's anyone who's coming after me is getting seen before me. Just, you know, so that I can tut and think, you know, how long have I been waiting? But, you know, it happens. You sit there, you wait, and people come in and go out, and you just sat there for what feels like an eternity. And eventually you will start to think, well, maybe they've forgotten about me. Do I need to go and check in again, or do I need to go and say something? And you can just be sat there looking at your watch thinking, will this ever end? How long until I'm seen? Now, I think that gives us a small insight to how David's feeling in this psalm today. We hear him repeat that phrase a few times. How long? How long, O Lord? Now, at first glance, we might look at this psalm and think, well, it seems like quite a gloomy psalm. But I pray that as we look at it together now, we will see that actually this is a glorious psalm. As we look at how it finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ, we will see that actually there is so much beauty in here. Now, I think it's probably fair to say that psalms of lament like this one are not something that feature in our corporate worship super often. I don't think that's something that we see. Yet there are so many of them in Scripture. And the truth is that for many of us, at different times in our lives, we will read these psalms and they will really resonate with how we are feeling. So as we look at this psalm of lament together, we're going to focus in on three sections that we see in the psalm. We're going to look at verses 1 and 2 and how they give us a permission to lament. Verses 3 and 4 and how they give us a call to prayer. And then verses 5 and 6, which give us reason to rejoice. So firstly, in verses 1 and 2, we have permission to lament. Now, we're told at the start of this psalm that this is a psalm of David. And we don't really need to read particularly far to grasp exactly how David is feeling here. Overwhelmed, in a state of despair. We're not told exactly what it is that David is going through at this point in his life. We could perhaps speculate from what we know of David's life. But actually, I think that in a way, the fact that we're not told exactly what David is experiencing as he writes these words is helpful for us, as it makes it more widely relatable to situations that we might face in our lives. If we were told that David were experiencing this or David were experiencing that, we might read and think, well, I've not experienced this or that, so maybe this doesn't apply to me. But perhaps the fact that this we're not specifically told David is experienced at this point, it makes us read this and think, well, yeah, I felt that at different stages of my life as well. But whatever David is going through, he feels as though it's been going on long enough. How long? How long? How long? How long? Four times he repeats that phrase in the first two verses. Verse 1 says, "Will you forget me forever?" It's a cry of desperation to God, feeling like God has forgotten him, like perhaps God isn't seeing the pain that he's in. And perhaps even feeling like God is deliberately, actively making a choice not to intervene or to deliver him. And so as we read these words, we feel an intense desire for God to step in and to act, to bring him out of the anguish that he's in. And like I say, this may well be an experience that we can relate with. Spurgeon once said this, "Whenever you look into David's Psalms, you may somewhere or another see yourselves. You never get into a corner but find David in that corner. I think that I was never so low that I could not find David was lower, and I never climbed so high that I could not find that David was above me, ready to sing his song upon his stringed instrument, even as I could sing mine." So the way David is feeling here might be your experience this morning. Or it might be that you recall a particular situation in your life where you felt this way. The human life is full of suffering, and God has never promised us anything different to that. And our suffering can lead us to feel the way that David is feeling. And so when we're feeling similar to David here, this psalm gives us permission to lament, to cry out in honesty to God, to express to him our deepest feelings of our hearts and to share our pain with him. Now, even though this is how David is feeling, and even though this is how we may feel at times in our lives, it's not to say that it is actually the case that God has forgotten about us. We're told in Scripture that that's not the case. Isaiah 49, verse 14 to 15 says this, "Zion said, 'The Lord has forsaken me, the Lord has forgotten me.' Then God responds in verse 15, 'Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands.'" What an amazing verse. God never forgets his people. He never forgets us, and we are engraved on his hands. And this is a truth that David himself knows too. Elsewhere in Psalm 9, David proclaims, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." So even in those times where we feel as though God has forsaken us or forgotten us, the unchangeable truth is that he hasn't, and he never will. David goes on in verse 1, "How long will you hide your face from me?" Which is an interesting question. Now Spurgeon comments on this, that this is a far more rational question than the first, because there may be times in our lives where God allows his face to be hidden from us, all the while still remembering us. We hear a number of times throughout the Psalms and also in Isaiah about God himself, God hiding himself or hiding his face. And John Piper very helpfully says this: God may at times, in love, allow his face to be hidden to teach us the value of his presence, to show us our weakness, and to remind us of our great salvation. In the same way that the sun is always there, even if at times it's hidden by the clouds, God is always with us, even if at times he allows his face to be hidden. Now, God is, of course, immutable, unchangeable. So if his face seems hidden from us, it's not that God is changing or drawing away from us, but it's perhaps due to changing circumstances in our lives or changes in us, often us drawing away from God, not the other way around. Now, God in his sovereignty might allow that to happen, and we trust that he can turn it around and use it for our good and for his glory. Even through our toughest times of waiting, we can pray in confidence that God, in his providence, will use our suffering to achieve his purposes. So, does God allow things to happen to us that will be a struggle? Yes. Does he abandon us or forget us in those times? No, of course he doesn't. David continues in verse 2, "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Again, something that we will know for ourselves too, wrestling with our thoughts, going back and forth in our own minds, perhaps even wrestling with our circumstances and what we know to be true of God. But as we go through times like this, we have a God who is able to help us, because we have a God who has been through this experience more fully than we could ever know. Jesus, the Son of God, stepped down into this world and into all the pain and suffering of the human experience. And before he died in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's told his disciples, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Then he went on a little further and prayed, "Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." Just as we hear the pain from David in Psalm 13, we hear it from Jesus in the garden. He knew what it was to wrestle. He knew what it was to have sorrow in his heart. Yet humbly and obediently, Jesus went to the cross, and as he hung there bearing our sins, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Psalm 13, as with all scripture, is fulfilled in Christ. Jesus knew what it was to have the Father's face hidden from him. And it's interesting to think that Jesus would have sung this very psalm with his disciples. And so to consider Jesus singing this psalm and all that it would mean for him is astonishing. Just consider Jesus reading these words, "How long, Lord? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Jesus knew that experience better than anyone. So we have a God who can sympathize with our sufferings and a God who can help us in our sufferings. So what do we do when we feel this way? Well, what does David do? He turns his cry into prayer. Verse 3 and 4, he says, "Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him. My foes will rejoice when I fall." Now, what we read here is that in David's suffering, in his anguish, he doesn't run away from God. he runs to God, calling out to him in prayer. Even though he is hurting, even though he doesn't understand why God hasn't stepped in, he doesn't let that draw him away from God. Rather, he draws close to God in prayer. And in doing so, he is recognizing that God is the Almighty One, the only one worthy of his petitions. He calls on God to see him, to hear him, to enlighten him, give light to his eyes. How often can it be the case in our lives that as we go through storms, things that are getting us down, that we try and draw on our own strength, perhaps thinking that we can fix it on our own or just try and get through it in our own strength? Rather than God forgetting about us, it can often be the opposite, where we forget about him. Why do we so often try and fix things ourselves rather than calling on the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth? I had a situation a little while ago where I had a problem with my bike. And every time I would ride my bike, it would feel like the brakes were on. And so it would be a real slog as I would be riding, particularly up the hill. It would be really, really tough. And every now and then the brakes would kick in a bit more, and it would just feel like I was battling, like I was riding my bike through treacle. And this went on for a little while, and I had a little look at the bike, and I couldn't figure out what the issue was. And so I just kind of thought, well, I'm just going to power on through. Maybe this is what it's going to be like from now on. Eventually, my legs were hurting too much, and I thought, well, I need to do something about this. So I took it into the bike shop. Very embarrassing situation for me. Because what had happened was the handlebars had somehow rotated 360 degrees. So it looked exactly right. They were still facing the right way, but the brake cables had been pulled really tight. So every time I was riding the bike, the brake cables were pulling so tight that that's what felt like the brakes were on. So the incredibly embarrassing situation was one when I walked into the bike shop. I was in there maximum of 30 seconds because I took it to the guy and he just went, there you go, and sent me on my way. So it was not my finest hour. But this is an illustration for us of what it's like with God, about how often we can just think, I'm just going to slog on through. I'm going to just try and battle through in my own strength. And actually, when we come to God, he is the one who is able to do something about it. Now, I know that's not a perfect illustration, because many of you would have seen that the issue was that it had become, the handlebars had been rotated. But it is an illustration for us that actually we can so often think, I'll just be okay to power through on my own, when actually there is one who we can come to who has the power to do what we ask of him. That's not to say that he will calm every storm in our lives as soon as we ask. And so we should also always be praying, as Jesus did in the garden, your will be done. We trust in God's plans and his purposes. But as we go through our lives, facing good days and bad days, prayer should always be a first response, never a last resort. A first response, not a last resort. It shouldn't be that we try everything else, and if not, let's pray. Prayer should be our first port of call. Then as we get to the final section of the psalm, and we look at verses 5 and 6 and compare it to verses 1 and 2, it's a drastic change that we see. Now, it's not a change in circumstances. David is still in the same situation that he was in at the start of the psalm. But it's a change in perspective. And I think that what we see is the thing that has caused David's change in perspective is prayer. Verses 3 and 4 are a bridge from lament to praise. And so we come to verses 5 and 6, and we hear David declaring his trust and singing God's praises because of what he knows to be true. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. He rejoices in the unfailing love of God, the God who saves, the God who is completely and utterly good. And he declares his trust in this God. Yes, he is suffering and he's in a place of anguish, but he declares in who he knows God to be. He declares his trust in that God. God is worthy of his faith. We don't have to look far in the life of David and his ancestors to see that God has been faithful to his people and that he is a God who saves. And David trusts him to continue to be faithful and to continue to save. And so for us, as we consider these verses, we can use a phrase that we are so often able to use when it comes to the Psalms. And that phrase is, how much more? How much more are we able to say this, even than David? Because we are those who live on the other side of God's unfailing love being displayed in all of its fullness. We are those who live having seen God's plan of salvation come to fruition in the person of Jesus Christ. We can sing the Lord's praise because he has been so good to us. He has given his son to take our punishment. He has given his son to pay the price for our sin so that we can be redeemed and welcomed into God's family. We can be adopted as his children because the blood of Jesus has washed us clean. And not only that, but he has raised this Jesus to new life. Death has no sting and the grave has no victory. And Jesus shares that new life with us. He has ascended to his throne in heaven and he is preparing a place for all of us who would put our trust in him. And one day, he will return. He will come again and he will take us to be with him for all eternity. Even if our current circumstances are bleak, we can look ahead with joy in our hearts at the glory to come, and we can rejoice that we have been saved and that we have eternity with our Saviour ahead of us. We will go through an awful lot in our lives, some things which are bearable and some things which don't last a particularly long time. And some things where the pain almost seems too much to cope with. Times where we think, God, where are you in this? Situations where we just think, is this ever going to end? How long, O Lord? Perhaps that's a struggle with illness. Perhaps a friend or family member is struggling with illness. Perhaps that's challenges in a particular relationship that we are experiencing. Perhaps we're waiting for God to break through in someone's life who we've been praying for them to come to Christ for a long time. And it's like we've not seen anything happen. Perhaps it's challenges not just for ourselves individually, but challenges that we face as a community, challenges as a church family. There may be things particularly on your heart as a church family at the moment that you are just seeking God to be at work in. Now, this psalm gives us permission to take our cries and to direct them upwards towards God, to be completely honest with him. He knows our hearts already, so why would we keep it from him? Why would we keep from expressing our desires to him? And we can cry to him for his help, for him to step in and to change things. And we know that when we do that, we're not praying to a God who can only do a certain amount. We're praying to a God, as Karen reminded us earlier, that is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, God may not always calm the storms in our life, but he can give us calm in the storm. And he does that by his presence and by his peace. His presence, as James 4 verse 8 reminds us, come near to God and he will come near to you. and his peace, as Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 tells us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, on the good days and on the days where we feel like David is feeling here in this psalm. We can present our requests to him in prayer, all the while rejoicing in who he is and in what he's done for us and in what he will do for us. Let me close with a reflection from Christopher Ashe on this psalm, which I found particularly helpful. Lament is the natural human response to sorrow and pain. We grieve, we mourn, we weep. There is nothing special about that. It is common human experience. But, and this is a very big difference, the moment we address our lament upwards in prayer to the true God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that prayer is heard in heaven, it becomes something more than the outpouring of human sorrow. It contains within itself, by the ministry of the Spirit of God, who groans in and through our prayers, the seeds of a future rescue and therefore of praise. Praise is the appropriation in the present of truths that we will only be consummated in the future. We praise not because the present is easy, but because the future is glorious. Praise is therefore not the outpouring of our hearts made glad by present happy circumstances, but the expression of faith in hearts made glad in the midst of suffering by the assurance of future glory. Let's pray together. Father, we know in life there are many struggles. Struggles we have faced. Struggles we are facing. Struggles we will face. But thank you that in all of this we have a God who stands with us. Thank you that you draw near to us. You uphold us and you invite us to come and to bring our cares to you. Father, help us to be people of prayer, people who direct our cries to our loving Heavenly Father, trusting in your sovereignty and your will. And Father, help us to be those who rejoice in your salvation. Father, you are so good to us. Let our circumstances never prevent us from giving you the heartfelt praise that you are worthy of. In Jesus' name. Amen.